the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I got in here to read like the first 7 verses, just the beginning. I'm not sure, but let me look at it. I think the first 7 verses is the first sentence. Yeah. Well, sometimes that's how my scripture readings end. I look for a period. And sometimes they go way beyond what I'm looking for, but that's all right. You want the whole thought if you can. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stop right there. Because basically what I want to talk about is like the first 3 verses. And narrowing that down, what I want to speak about and hopefully preach is the gospel of God. First of all, it's a fact. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. Anything else is not the gospel. Period. Paul said anathema to those who preach another.
Right.
I'll say it too. Anathema to those who preach another gospel.
Sure.
It don't have quite, you know, the authority that Paul had, but it's in the scripture, so I can say it. I can read it. And it's true. There is only one gospel, the good news, the glad tidings. And here in verse 1 it says it's called the gospel of God. Now, I have a quote here from the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology. So you know it has to be good. The guy's name is Kenneth Grider. And they put this up on the screen on this movie I was watching. Actually, it's on Calvinism, and it was for Calvinism. It wasn't again Calvinism. It was for Calvinism. But here we have an honest Arminian. And they're rare. A spillover from Calvinism into Arminianism has occurred in recent decades. Thus many Arminians, whose theology is not very precise. This is an Arminian talking about Arminians. Many Arminians, whose theology is not very precise, say that Christ paid the penalty for our sins. Yet such a view is foreign to Arminianism, which teaches instead that Christ suffered for us. Arminians, true Arminians, teach that what Christ did, he did for every person. Therefore, what he did could not have been to pay the penalty, since no one would then ever go into eternal perdition. That's right. If Christ did pay the penalty for sins, God could not be just and damn them. But Arminians, whose theology is not very good, are saying that exact same thing, and this Arminian's mad at him. Arminianism teaches that Christ suffered for everyone so that the Father could forgive the ones who repent and believe. His death is such that all will see that forgiveness is costly and will strive to cease from anarchy in the world God governs. This view is called the governmental theory of the atonement. Okay, is dead wrong? And if you want to put it that way, hooey. It's full of it. That is not the gospel of God. But that is what we are surrounded by. And what passes for the gospel in many, many places. There was another fellow on there. He said, if you go into the average church, what you'll hear is people trying to remove the fear of God, not to expound it, not to proclaim it, that the fear of God is a good thing. I've seen it. I've heard it. But there is only one gospel. Now, it's called many different things in a way. There are different adjectives they put on the end of it. Let's put it that way. Four times in the Gospel of Matthew, it's called the Gospel of the Gospel of the Kingdom. Paul three times says it's my gospel. Not that it came from Paul, but that Paul preached it and it was the gospel he was committed to. It's called the Gospel of Peace. And this is a couple of my personal favorites. One time it's called, in one verse, it's called the gospel of the uncircumcision, and it's called the gospel of the circumcision. Guess what? It's the same one.
Right. Same one.
Paul was saying that I go to the uncircumcision with the gospel. Peter goes to the circumcision.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's only one gospel.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's only one gospel. It's called the gospel of your salvation. When you hear the gospel of your salvation, you're already saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you'll hear it. Mm-hmm. And come to understand it. It will be revealed to you. It's called the everlasting gospel.
Yeah.
There is only one gospel now. There has only ever been one gospel.
Amen.
And there only will ever be one gospel.
Yeah.
It is called in Acts 20, verse 24, the gospel of the grace of God. And Mark 1 starts off his gospel saying the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Romans 1:9, it's called the gospel of his son. In 1 Timothy, it's called the gospel of the blessed God. Seven times, it's called the gospel of God, including right here. 11 times, it is called the gospel of Christ. Now, when I looked all this stuff up, I was beginning to see a pattern. This is the gospel of God. This is the gospel of Christ. This is the gospel of this book. The good news. And I began to suspect some other things. First and foremost, the gospel is not about man. Now the gospel will have an effect on man. To some, it's the savor of life unto life. To some, it's the savor of death unto death. And to them was the gospel preached as well as unto us, but it did not profit them. Why? Well, no reason. They just didn't get it. Well, they didn't get it. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But it's still just the one gospel. The gospel is not about the preacher, but the preacher is to proclaim the gospel. The gospel is not your salvation.
Right.
But it is the gospel of your salvation if you can hear him. The gospel is not about the world and how much it needs saving. The world is going to be saved, but it's not the world knows. And it's not going to be the way the world wants. The gospel does not respect the free will of men, because the gospel does not acknowledge that there is such a thing as the free will of men. And I don't care what the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology says. The gospel is not that salvation is possible.
No.
That's what most people say. And then, like I told you a couple of months ago, I heard that fellow on the radio said the gospel, well, here's what my statement, the gospel is not that salvation is available. Because I asked Walter what was next. The gospel is online, you know. Salvation's online. No. The gospel, the good news, is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the gospel of God.
Right.
It concerns his Son. The gospel, this gospel, written of in this book, is about a person. It's about a person. And that person is not me and is not you. It is the Son of God. And that's what a lot of people miss in a lot of places. Because the gospel is about the Christ of the Bible. The Christ of the Scripture, Old Testament and New. Because what does he say here in verse 2? Separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets, by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You can find the gospel in the Old Testament. There's good news in the Old Testament. But let me tell you this. The gospel is not the law. The law is not good news. Now, the law is good and the commandment holy, just and good. But that doesn't make it good news to me, because all the law does to me is say that I am guilty. And that's before I'm converted and after I'm converted. I still can't keep the law. I still can't, where Christ boiled it down to two, I can't love the Lord my God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. I am incapable of doing that. I am desirous of it. I want to do it. But I can't. And that's all the law could do, was condemn. But what I want to show is four things, and I'm not even close to getting anywhere done. But I've got four things written down here that I'd like to show. First of all, this gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This gospel is the only gospel that agrees with both the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
Both. This is the only gospel that shows God as both just and justifier of them that believe in Jesus Christ. This is the only gospel that shows absolute, complete, and perfect salvation for every child of God. And this is the only gospel that completely glorifies God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the gospel, the good news, leaves man out of it.
Yeah.
And I hope to show that later. But Paul starts out here, actually, even before he gets to concerning his son, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel is in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve were told that the seed of the woman was to come.
Mm-hmm.
And the serpent was going to bruise his heel, but he was going to bruise the serpent's head. Isaiah 7 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. That's the seed of a woman. That's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that was good news. And it is good news. God with us. This son that was going to come was going to be God with us. And in the fullness of time, the good news came. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt. Tabernacled is the word among us. God Almighty condescended and took on flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He didn't come in sinful flesh, but he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? Because Isaiah also said there's going to be no beauty that we should desire him. People didn't come to Christ because he was pretty. People came to Christ because he called them.
Amen.
They didn't come because he was such a wonderful, persuasive speaker. Matter of fact, most of them left because he was a wonderful, persuasive speaker. When he spoke the truth, people left in droves. And guess what? It isn't any different now. Light came into the world, and what? Men loved darkness rather than the light. Men loved the lie rather than the truth. That's it. And when Christ spoke the truth, they hated it.
Yeah.
And not only that, they hated him.
Yeah.
Paul asked that question, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" For some people, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, I'm not anybody's enemy, but people have made an enemy of me, and people have become my enemy. Because of this word. Now I can make people mad of my own personality. I don't have a, you know, I'm not saying that. That's not what we're talking about. I can make people mad of my own personality, but people have raised a fist to me over this word. And what it says. I mean, physically in my face. Now he didn't hit me, and I'm glad of that. But Walter and I were in the middle of a mess over the truth of the gospel. That Jesus Christ actually performed his work. You start preaching it, and it will cause a division. And that's why you can talk to some preachers and they'll say, "Oh, we don't preach doctrine here, because doctrine causes division." Well, it's supposed to. Christ said, "I didn't come to bring peace but a sword."
Yeah.
I didn't come to bring peace but division.
Yeah.
in between members of your own family, and basically everybody here can testify that. I've talked to most of you. And it comes out. Christ did bring a division. There are those who the Father gave to the Son. And as a result of that, there are those that the Father didn't give to the Son. There are vessels of honor, and there are vessels of dishonor. There are men of old ordained unto this condemnation. And you can call that Calvinism, you can call it hyper-Calvinism. I call it Scripture. Because that's what it is. But this gospel is not new, and this gospel is concerning His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a declarative statement made by John the Baptist, recorded for us in the Gospel of John, which lets us know that the gospel of Christ has been foretold in the Old Testament. Because John saw Him coming, and he said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Old Testament said there was a Lamb coming, there was a man coming. Isaiah 53 says the Lamb is a man. John says there He is. He's here! The lamb in the Old Testament is a sacrifice. It's a picture of a substitute. It's a picture of a blood offering. Usually when you read of lambs in the Old Testament, they have a bad end. Abel offered a lamb unto God. It wasn't alive. Abraham took Isaac up on that mountain, and there was that ram caught in the thicket by its horns, and it took the place of his son, Isaac. It was a substitute for his son, and it was killed. Isaiah 53, and as a lamb going to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. John states, here is the Lamb of God. That's good news. The Lamb of God, the one who's going to be, at this time, the sacrifice for sins. When John the Baptist saw him, He's here. Just as the Old Testament prophesied, He came into this world in flesh. Both God and man in one. And I don't care what anybody says, he was not a man who became God. He was God who took on human flesh. Now He was and is both God and man still. But when John saw him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Here He is, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types and pictures, all of it, in one man walking on this earth, the Lamb of God is here. And I gotta stop because it's Walter's turn. But that's a bit of the gospel. That's a bit of the good news. The Old Testament said He's coming. The gospel says He's here. And the epistles tell us, guess what? He's coming again. It's all of the gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's all about Him. This gospel is about a person. It's not about things. It's not about... It's about actions, but not mine. His. It's about His person and His work and His life and His death and His resurrection.
Yeah.
That's the good news. And more next week, hopefully. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. We are most of all thankful for Your Son, our Lord, who did come. And who did offer Himself as the Lamb of God. And He did take away the sin of the world. And He did save His people from their sins. Help us as we go out in this world to remember, call to mind all that You have done for us and to us and in us and will do for us in the future. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.